Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 72nd Festival de Cannes. Today I'm in company of Midge Costin, director of Making Waves, the art of cinematic sound, screening here in the Cannes Classic Selection. When and why did you decide to make this film after so many years working in the field?
Yes, I would have made this film earlier because I'm so passionate about sound, but I'll tell you why I didn't. It's really important in making this movie to have examples, to have it be experiential, so that you can actually feel what we're talking about, the concepts. Because I've tried to read books about sound, and I don't even understand them, and I'm a professional. So what I knew it, we needed to have movies, and honestly, there's a thing called fair use, where you can use the clips. It would have been so expensive, like the studios, it would have been very expensive to use the clips, to use the film clips. So in 2010, the government ruled that you can use clips if you set them up and use them in an educational way, but you have to transform them in a way that, you know, you can't use them just for entertainment value. So when that happened, Bobette Buster, who's my producing partner, had gone to Gary Rydstrom and said, "Gary, why isn't there a film about sound?" And she said, "Would you be interested if I did something?" And he said, "If you got Midge Costin involved, I would be." So I'm like, "Oh, Gary Rydstrom. Like, yes, I'll do this film." And I had tried to do it back in early 2002. But a friend of mine did the editing version, and it took her 2 years to get the rights to clips. And I thought, I don't want to do that. You know, to me, it's I wanted to have fun understanding getting the sound people and the concepts out there. But I didn't want to take a lot of time doing getting the rights for clips. So,
what was the initial idea? Did you change it along the way? And what was the original structure?
Yes. So the initial idea was just, honestly, the overall thing is that I've worked in sound for a long time now, and I just feel like people don't have no idea. Like, I didn't have any idea about sound. I didn't care. I thought it was technical. I thought it was more engineering. I thought you did it at the end of a movie. And when I started to work in it and got the idea of how impactful sound can be, and because my interest in film is telling stories and understanding characters and all of that. So when I started to work in sound, the very first job that I got, and I just did it for the money because I didn't really care, but I needed to finish a film, and so I needed money. So when a friend called me and asked me, would I do this, cut effects on this thing, oh, well, okay. And then I started to feel the impact immediately, like, wow, you really have to break down the scenes and think about what's the mood and the tone that you want to create, what are the plot points, and how can I show those with sound. And then at years of doing this job, I thought, nobody knows. Every time I'd say I work in sound, they would start to talk about the music in the film, and they wouldn't understand sound. Music, I have to say, is the most powerful part of a soundtrack because it's so emotional. But when you can't have music running all the time because it would take the impact away from it. So you need to think about sound. And also, I mean, think about this. The voice is the performance. It's the actors, you know. So you pay all this money for the actors. Why don't you want to get that performance that we call them circle takes, you know, when the director likes this take? You want that voice, you know. And so I just started to have such an appreciation, and I thought, I would like people to understand it. And I teach in the last, like, almost 20 years I've been teaching, and I love teaching filmmakers, not just the sound people. I love teaching directors and producers and writers and all of that about sound, because they're collaborators just like the cinematographer. But everybody thinks of film and television as visual media. But, you know, we haven't had a silent film for a long time.
But even when there's no sound, there's sound. And in a way, you can always influence people.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we take the sound out. Sometimes we do, like we showed in Saving Private Ryan, they did that thing, an explosion happens and then your hearing goes. But it's not no sound, it's that you can tell that the hearing's blocked. And sometimes silence is the most important. But when is it silent? When it's really quiet, that's when you hear the little sounds. You hear the single cricket. You know, a single cricket doesn't make... Have you ever heard one in a house? And it's like, they don't make a sound when you move, but when you stop moving, you'll hear a single cricket, or you'll hear the creak of a floor. You'll hear the little sound, quiet sounds, you know. But that's considered silence, you know, so it's kind of fun.
There can be a beautiful sound, a familiar sound, a scary sound, or Hitchcockian.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, Hitchcock, when we showed the birds and we said, like, you know, instead of using music, because that was really the common thing that was happening in the 40s and 50s, they used a lot, they almost used music all the way through. But with Hitchcock, it was almost scary to use that clip, because there's really no, she opens the door, she goes into that room, there's no, I mean, literally, I think there's no sound. And then when she goes, and she sees the birds, and then, you know, that's like, brilliant.
By watching your film, I don't want to say that you don't think the same way about directors you love, but you start to see them as a gathering point of a team effort.
Yes. Yeah. So what I loved about all the directors that I got most of the directors through their sound people, because they care so much about them and know that they're creative collaborators with them. And all of those directors who we see care so much about sound. And they see them as collaborators, and that's what we want. It's like the Star Wars thing with George Lucas. A year before they shot, they got Ben, you know, they hired Ben to start recording sounds. And that, a lot of that was Gary Kurtz, too, his producing partner. So it's like, that's what we're trying to encourage, is like, think about sound before, like in the script stage, even like for writers, you know, start to think about it. Like, what is your character here? So to not use that sense of one of our senses is crazy. And in sound, it's sometimes the things that, like Lucas, I mean, Steven Spielberg says, that's what brings his, he doesn't care for 3D movies, but he says what brings it into 3D is the sound. That makes it three-dimensional because it comes out into the theater, literally. And so, yeah, we definitely, I wanted to concentrate on filmmakers who really care about sound. And there's many more. Like, I wish I got Catherine Bigelow. I don't think she likes to do interviews, but I love her sound, you know, on Hurt Locker and I love the Coen brothers, but they don't like to do interviews. I love Martin Scorsese, but, you know, he didn't. But the great directors that we have in the movie, it's like, I was just, like, so appreciative. But it's because they appreciate their sound person. Yeah.
We've been talking a lot, you know, about cinema streaming platforms, and I couldn't help but thinking that maybe the sound department might be the one being affected the most from the fact that their people don't go to cinema as often as before. What do you think about it?
Yes. Well, I mean, I love going to the movie theater to hear the sound and, like, and see the pic, also see the big picture, screen picture. But I realize that people aren't doing that so much. I always show in my classrooms. I'm lucky that I'm at USC and we have nice, you know, kind of classrooms that have good sound and good screening rooms. And I try to show, you know, so that students can see what it's like. But here's what I feel. It's too bad that not many more people are going to theater, but as the picture gets smaller, honestly, sound is more important because it's the emotion. And so even if they're seeing, no matter how small, the sound becomes even more important. So you might not get the whole surround thing and all of that, but virtual reality, it's like sound is plays a big part, and they're doing 360. So it's like, I feel badly for a picture, too, that they're not going to theaters. But honestly, I feel like sound still plays such a big part. And the other thing that's happening is they're creating new headphones that you can hear, not just stereo, but you hear kind of, yeah, you can hear forward and backwards, and so you can hear like a surround, it gives a surround thing, especially the ones that cover your ears. They're doing amazing things with those, and so that's exciting. And so I still feel like, you know, sound still plays such a big part, but I personally, I love, one of my favorite things to do is to go out to movies, because I just love to get immersed, you know, in the thing. And the other thing is, like, one of the reasons I think I started teaching and got out of the movies is the ones I was working on were the big action-adventure movies, but I always say, I go to the movies so that somebody can tell me the meaning of life. And that's what filmmakers do, good ones, you know, their perspective on life. And, like, I don't you know, sound is so important in horror films, but I don't go because there's enough stress in life, you know. There's enough things to be afraid of, so I don't like that so much, but I know a lot of people do. And sound is just like so, you know, so I think so important. I do think it's 50% of the experience, you know.
And we'll be talking to Mitt Kosten, director of Making Waves, The Heart of Cinema Sound, The Heart of Cinematic Sound, screening at the 72nd Festival de Cannes in the Cannes Classic section. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.